Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. What a blessing it's been already in the Lord's house and hearing testimonies, seeing how camp can actually change the lives of young people as they get away from all the other influences and just be under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God and the preaching of the Word of God, and it can definitely make a difference. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Psalm, chapter 103. Psalm chapter 103, on Sunday nights, several weeks ago, we actually started in the month of May, and then we had to postpone it a little bit in June because of our Faith Promise Missions Emphasis Month. Here in the month of July, we've gotten back into our study on angiology, Now, as we study the Bible, it's what the Bible reveals to us about angels. That's what we are looking at. We're not looking for philosophies. We're not looking for personal experience. Keep that to yourself if you have them. But we're looking at what does the Bible reveal? That's something that I think that all of us need to be aware of, because the Bible reveals to us, makes available to us, everything that God wants us to know. I want to know everything that God wants me to know. The things that He doesn't, I don't need to know. But if it's in the Bible, it's something that He wants us to know about. And this idea of angels, and there's much in the Bible about it. Angels are mentioned 108 times in the Old Testament, 165 times in the New Testament. If He has mentioned angels 165 times in the New Testament scriptures, I guarantee you it's something that God wants us to know about. If God wants us to know about it, it's something that can help us. Understanding what the Bible reveals about angels. And so we first of all are looking at the servants of God, the holy angels. We will get into a little bit of demonology, the idea of the fallen angels and how they impact the lives of God's people today. And we'll be looking into just a little bit of that. But I want to present to you in this study what the Bible reveals to us. In Hebrews in chapter 1, the Bible says that they're all ministering spirits. There's no gender. They do not have physical bodies. They're spirits. They are not equal with man. They are not the children of God. Humanity are the children of God, created in God's image after His likeness, a triune people. That's humanity. That's the crown of creation. Angels are just spirits. They do not have physical bodies. They do not have souls. They are eternal, but they're eternal spirits. We've studied some of this and just kind of bring you up to where we're at here, but they are all ministering spirits. God created them in various ranks. We've studied that. And with specific functions and also strengths. He reveals to us all of those things concerning His creation of ministering spirits. If you will, go ahead and stand with me if you're there in Psalms chapter 103, because in this, and the Bible is not addressed to angels. It's addressed to humanity. But in addressing it to humanity, again, God reveals to us much about angels, and it's there for a purpose. I believe that God wants, and this is what we're looking at tonight, God wants believers to be aware of angels. Why? We're going to look into some of that. How can they impact our lives? I think we're going to look into that some tonight, much more in how they actually minister to us next week. But tonight, I just want you to understand that God created them and He has revealed them to us for a purpose. Look what the Bible says in Psalms chapter 103, beginning in verse 19, we'll read down to verse 22. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, verse 17 there rather, upon them that fear Him, and righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandment to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, and that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you, Lord God, for the privilege we had to be in church tonight. You made available to all that are here, and they have taken advantage of being in church. And Lord, as we have been here, we thank you for what we've already received, what a blessing it has already been. Just to sense your presence in this place and working through the music and the congregational singing and even through the testimonies that we've heard. But now, Father, as we look into this passage of Scripture and we study some other Scriptures tonight to bring to us what you would have us to understand about angels, I pray that it would be a help and a blessing, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. First of all, God wants us to know that he watches over all things from his heavenly kingdom. Angels have a part in doing that. But Almighty God, in verse 19, he says, the Lord hath prepared his throne in heaven, in the heavens, and his kingdom, where his throne is, ruleth over all. So God in heaven, in this kingdom that he has established, oversees all other things that God has created, the visible and the invisible. And God oversees it all from his kingdom. His kingdom is where all his messengers dwell, and they are all blessed. If you read the passage of Scripture we just read, that's what it's stating to us. It states that, first of all, that God has a heavenly kingdom. He has established his throne there. And from this throne, he watches over all things. And in doing that, he has ministering spirits. And all of them actually dwell in this heavenly kingdom. And they're all blessed. They're all blessed so that they can be a blessing. Whatever God blesses, he blesses so that they can be a blessing. He wants us to know here in verse 20, bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. From heaven, he uses angels and he instructs angels and he equips them to do the work that he wants them to do on everything that he oversees. Bless the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. He's helping us to see that they are blessed so that they can be a blessing. And they are a blessing, especially when you understand how he has created them and for what purposes and how they impact our lives. The abode of God, this heavenly kingdom where he has established his throne. Where is that? Now, we briefly touched on this earlier in a couple other messages, but I want you to take you to this because it's important that we have a clear understanding of this. 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. The heavenly kingdom where his throne is, where all ministering spirits dwell, is known as the abode of God, which would be the third heaven. Heaven meaning atmosphere. God created this human kingdom, the atmosphere of this earth, for humanity. That's what we view. That's how we live. We live in this atmosphere. We live in this heaven that God has created along with earth. We know that there is an atmosphere of space, which is different than this earth. The Bible doesn't tell us exactly the purpose of that, how that will come into play possibly in eternity. We don't know that, but that's not the abode of God. It's outer space. That's just a different atmosphere. That's a different heaven. He has put all that together for earth's sake. We understand that. But the third heaven, which is the abode of God, is not beyond outer space. It consumes outer space. It consumes the earth. Because it's where God has set up his throne to oversee everything else. It's a different dimension, if you will. And we find this in Paul's writing to the church at Corinth. He reveals some things to us concerning this abode of God that helps us to understand it's where the angels are as well. It's where God has set up his throne. In 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 2, 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 and verse 2, Paul says, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. God took Paul somewhere that no other man has ever been, revealed some things to him, and he didn't know if it was just a vision or if he was actually there physically. Such an one called up to the third heaven. And we know that this is the abode of God because when he reveals it as a third heaven, he says it wasn't on earth and it wasn't in outer space. God has recorded it for us to understand this would be the third heaven. If you look at verse 4, he says, how that he was caught up into paradise. What God allowed him to view in this abode of God, in this kingdom of heaven that God has established, Paul looks around and he says, this is paradise. In comparison to what earth is like, in comparison to what he viewed on earth, he said, this is paradise. And heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. He saw some things and he heard some things. God wanted him to have this experience so that Paul would be equipped to be able to handle the infirmity that he would have for the rest of his life and accomplish the task that God had for Paul to accomplish. So knowing this, seeing this, being aware of this, helped Paul to accomplish what God had him to accomplish. Can I tell you, if you know what God has for you to know, if you can believe the things that God wants you to believe, it will equip you to accomplish whatever your task on this earth is for your life. The abode of God is this third heaven. It's a different dimension. It's revealed as a place of paradise. Angels observe man from this dimension, from this heavenly kingdom. That's exactly what the Bible reveals to us when he says in verse 19, he's prepared his throne in the heavens and his kingdom ruleth over all. His kingdom includes the spirits and that which the ministers and the messengers that he had created for the purpose of overseeing earth and humanity and everything else. We have another picture of this given to us by God in the book of Genesis in chapter 28. Look there with me. Again, we look through the Bible to find where has God given us insight into this place of heaven? Where has God given us insight into the idea of angels? And as we study the Bible, it's all there. Now, there's other purposes that he had for presenting to us and presenting to Jacob, what he revealed to Jacob. But in doing that, he also reveals to us even today some truths about angels and this kingdom that God oversees from. In Genesis in chapter 28, let's read verse 10 to verse 15. Now, you know the story here. Jacob, which God has plans for Jacob, he would become known as Israel. He and his children would come out, the 12 tribes of Israel. God would have a plan for them in the Old Testament, but he would have to prepare Jacob to be this patriarch. He would have to prepare Jacob to be able to raise his boys and to be the servants and the 12 tribes of Israel that God would use in a very great and mighty way. And so in doing this, we find that Jacob was running from Esau. He had to leave his home. He had to journey. And if you'd study the map on this, it'd be about 500 miles. Jacob had a right heart. Jacob had a right desire for the birthright. Esau did not. God honored that desire. Even though we find that he went about getting it in a wrong way. And so because he went about getting it in a wrong way, instead of trusting in God to give it to him, he deceived his father and he deceived his own brother. And now Esau is wanting to kill Jacob. And because of this, he would have to run. God would have a plan in him running. God would have a plan in preparing him to come back to be known as Israel and to establish this 12 tribes. In this plan, we find here in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 10. The Bible says, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, as he was instructed to. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and laid down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it, on this ladder. And behold, the Lord stood above it." Very key, a key bit of information. "The Lord stood above it and said, 'I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee," he's repeating this Abrahamic covenant now to Jacob, "in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." God, again, according to the Psalms that we just read, he is in his heavenly kingdom. And from his kingdom, he is overseeing everything else. And knowing that, that's what the psalmist writes for us. Now we see it pictured. We see a visible of what God had revealed that he is doing from his throne in heaven. Yeah. He would see angels passing from heaven to earth. He would have a connection between heaven and the abode of God in a ladder. Now this ladder, if you can imagine it, it did not go into outer space. It didn't go into the second heaven. It went into the abode of God. Because that's where the angels were, and they were ascending and descending from the abode of God. So there was a connection between the dimension that we live in and the dimension that God is in, and his holy angels and his throne, and he is overseeing this dimension, this heaven, from his heaven. Amen. And he wanted them to see that there was angels continually going from this atmosphere of this dimension of earth into an atmosphere of the dimension in the abode of God, the third heaven. And the thing that he wanted him to understand more than even the angels is that God was there at the top of the ladder in the dimension called the kingdom of heaven, and he was the one that was sending the angels and welcomed the angels. He was the one overseeing it all. And he wanted Jacob to have that visual. He wants you to have that visual. He wants me to have that visual. Because that's what's happening. Every day of our lives, that's what's happening. God is aware of earth. He's aware of humanity. He's aware of everything that is taking place on planet Earth, and he is overseeing it from his kingdom, which oversees and overviews this kingdom. Wow, that's good stuff. As they come from heaven, they come to do what he created them to do. They're all ministering spirits. If they're coming from God, they're coming to minister. Jacob was running from Esau for his life. Jacob had to leave his mother, which many look at that and say he was a mama's boy anyway. Well, he turned out to be a pretty good patriarch, amen? Turned out to be a godly mama's boy, if he was a mama's boy. He liked to cook soup, amen? He liked some things that Esau didn't like. But what God liked about him more than anything else, that he had a heart for the things of God. He wanted the birthright. He wanted the blessings of God. Yeah. He'd have to leave his mom. He had to leave his family. He was there fearful in a desert, a 500-mile journey with his brother could show up at any time to slay him. And he deserved it because of what he did to his brother. He was lonely. He was discouraged. He didn't know what the future held. He didn't know what would happen, where he was going to go, and how God would work in his life to prepare him to come home, until he had this vision. Until God revealed to him angels, until God revealed to him a place of where the kingdom of God is and how that it oversees where he's at. Until God revealed to him, Jacob, you might not understand it all, but all the families of the earth will be blessed through your seed. What do you think this would do for Jacob to know this? I think it would take away the fear. I think it would take away the loneliness. I think it would take away the discouragement. For he knew that God had a greater plan for his life than even what he could imagine. He no longer had to truly worry about Esau killing him, because God would protect him. And not only did he understand it was God from heaven looking down and overseeing all the affairs of the earth, but God had messengers that he had created for that very purpose, to come from heaven to ascend to this planet earth and then to ascend back into heaven on a regular, consistent time. The schedule was continually. And God was above it because it was his work. Woo! I believe the very same reason that God wanted Jacob to know about this is the same reason and the very same visual that we can have. And I believe if you have that visual, it'll make a difference in your life. Jesus did the same for his disciples. He wanted them to have the very same visual. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. It's what the Bible reveals to us. Like I mentioned, angels, this is something you have to be aware of. Last week we studied this. Angels are not to be glorified. Angels are not even to be given recognition. They don't want your recognition. They're serving God. By serving God, they're serving you, but they don't want your recognition. They want you to give your recognition to the only true and mighty God through Jesus Christ. We should not give recognition to saints. We should not give recognition to angels, because we have the ultimate in Jesus Christ. I don't have to pray through a saint. I've got Christ to pray through. Don't have to bow down and try to make a friend out of a spirit. I've got Jesus Christ as a friend of sinners. Establish a relationship with him. Just understand that he is working through and he can use angels, but you are not to develop a relationship. That's where so many have gone wrong over the years. We have a lot of the false doctrine that is being spread abroad today because of ungodly angels manifesting themselves as angels of light and giving wrong information. Yeah. So John chapter 1. Look at verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael. He saw Nathanael coming to him and saith unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Now you want Nathanael and all the other disciples hearing this to realize he sees things that man can't see. He knows things that man can't know. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. All the disciples heard that. All the disciples would be aware of what Jesus had just spoken to him. And he says, I want you. They would have been aware of Jacob's ladder. They would have been aware of what God revealed to Jacob. And now they're thinking that was Old Testament. That's not only for the Old Testament saints. That's for New Testament saints. For us to be aware that there are angels in heaven and God above the angels. And God is sending angels and receiving angels to minister to the believer. You're never alone. If you can believe that, if you can see what God wants us to see concerning this invisible kingdom of God, it can do something for all of us. 2 Kings chapter 6. I want you to walk out of here tonight knowing that God wants you to be aware of angels. Understanding what God wants you to be aware of. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 14. King Assyria seeks to capture Elisha because Elisha knew things that no one else could have known, and he kept warning the king that he tried to set up traps for. And so he sent his soldiers to capture Elisha. Elisha was not fearful in the least because Elisha was aware of angels all around him. He was aware of God. He was aware of God's messengers. Chapter 6, verse 14. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. The city where Elisha was. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? We're dead. There's no hope for us. Look at all around us. Look at all these horses and chariots and the enemy. They're all around us, and they're going to destroy us. We don't have any hope. Because he wasn't aware of what Elisha was aware of. He wasn't aware of what God wanted him to be aware of. God has established his throne in his heaven to oversee everything that takes place on earth. Everything. And he answered, Fear not. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, it's something that I already know, something I already see. But Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. He doesn't have the faith that I have to know it's real. Give him a glimpse. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. When he was able to have that visual, and he was able to see that which is invisible to the naked eye, but he had confidence because God allowed him to see it, his fear left. His confident level, and they were going to be all right. I mean, it just skyrocketed. His strength, his help was there. Now he's beside Elisha, and he said, hey, we have nothing to worry about. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. With God watching over us and with God having the creation of angels to minister to us who are coming in and out of this dimension to heaven, there's a connection there. What are we to worry about? God wants all believers to be aware of angels. Luke chapter 2. I'm not going to be much longer. I just want to share a couple more verses with you here, because this is what the Bible reveals to us. God reveals that he wants you to know it. If he wants you to know it, it's something that can strengthen you, can help you. Luke in chapter 2. At the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, God said, I want there to be a showing of angels. Verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not. They're seeing this light shining. They're hearing all the commotion about this child that was born, not understanding it all until God spoke to them. Fear not, for thou, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. And it came to pass as the angels were gone away from them into heaven. Now we know exactly where they went. Amen. We know where they came from. The shepherds said one to another, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Changed their lives. Not only the information about the birth of Christ, but the angels that rejoiced over him, the multitude of heavenly hosts praising God. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. This is what the Bible records in dealing and understanding angels. God wants you to be aware of it. Luke chapter 15. Jesus gives the parables, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. But in the midst of these parables, he gives them verse 10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. When somebody comes to the altar, like we had the altars filled this morning, what a blessing that was. And when somebody makes a decision for Christ, you ought to be able to hear the angels. When you take the gospel and you come to somebody and you say, do you know where you'd spend eternity if your eyes were to close in death today? No, I don't know that. Would you like to know that? Would you like to know what the Bible says you must do in order to have everlasting life? And when you take in that gospel and you're presenting to them, and that person bows their head and they confess their sin and they receive Christ as Savior, in and of our own hearts and minds, you ought to be able to hear the angels rejoicing. Because in the presence of the angels, there is rejoicing every time any decision is made for the cause of Christ. Amen. When you're in the auditorium like this morning and all these decisions are being made, did you even think about it? If you didn't think about it, you lost out on a blessing. If you're able to think about it, can I tell you that will produce that happiness we preach on this morning as well? Amen. You got the joy of the Lord in you. And if you got the joy of the Lord in you, if you think about the things that God wants you to think about, the happiness will actually come from that joy. And there will be a sense of happiness over what God is doing. You're in a service. Decisions made. Listen for the angels. You're not going to hear an audible voice of an angel rejoicing. But inside, you can have a visual in your spirit, and you can know because God tells you it's happening. And there'll be a smile that comes over your face. Amen. Why? Because God says, I want you to understand what is taking place in the spiritual realm. I want you to know about my kingdom. I want you to know I'm overlooking this earth from my kingdom that I've established. And I've created angels to go from this kingdom to earth's kingdom with a purpose and a plan of ministering to the saints of God. One last verse, Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Every child of God's have angels watching over them. We'll get into a little bit more of this on how they do this, but Matthew next week, but Matthew chapter 18 and verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, God's children. For I say unto you that in heaven, you know where heaven's at? You know what it is? You know what it's all, we've already studied? Yeah, why? Because what the Bible has revealed to us, I know what he's talking about here. It's the abode of God. It's a different dimension. It's at the top of the ladder. For I say unto you that in heaven, there, T-H-E-I-R, personal, there, angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. Personal and plural. Every one of us, we have personal and plural angels that are looking into the face of the Father and doing the Father's bidding in our own lives. Personal and plural, they're angels. If you can believe it, and if you understand the Bible is the holy word of God, and if it's in the Bible, you better believe it. And not only do you believe it in Sunday school this morning, once you have established your belief, then you trust in your belief. And once you've established the belief in angels, you trust in that, and it will impact your life. It can take away fears. It can bring you the peace. It can give you a comfort. Even when you're all alone, you're never alone. Thank God for his angels. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. God wants us to know about them. It wouldn't be in the Bible if it didn't. He wouldn't have so many references to them if he didn't. And if he wants us to know about them, then they can do something for us, just being aware of them. Father, we bow before you tonight. Love you, Lord, and thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity to open up your holy word and study it in regards to what you have revealed to us concerning angels. I pray, God, that you would take the lesson, the message that was preached, apply it to each and every one that's here, and help us to leave this place better prepared to fight the spiritual battles that are before us. Give us the victory. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name.